We're going to be in James chapter 3. We're going to read verse 9 through 12 this evening as you open your Bibles to the Word of God, as we get a chance to study through this book tonight. We'll continue through this chapter, really, which is a continuation of our speech, of our words, of what we say and how we say it. And really, the theme of the book of James is about being a real Christian, being real, not seeming to be something that you're not, not pretending, but being a real Christian. So we talked about faith with your words, and as we look through this passage, we've looked at different dangers of our words, of where our speech can take us and what it can do, the power of our words. We looked at the comparison of how powerful our words are, comparing our words to a fire, comparing our words to a ship, and comparing our words to a bit in a horse's mouth, and how powerful our tongue is that directs our life. And the Bible says in verse number 2, if any man offend, in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Are you completely under control all the time? Never out of line, never out of control, never an issue at all. No one is like that. But the Bible says if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. That's how powerful. And if we can understand anything through this chapter, is how powerful, how important it is for us to control our words and control our speech. And then we looked in verse number 7 and 8, and it gives us a few words that really help us to describe our tongue. And it says in verse 7 and 8 that our tongue is untamed. Talks about all the animals in this world that can be tamed. And then of all the animals, do you think that can be tamed? And our tongue is untamed. I mean, you can train a lion, a tiger, snake. You can tame all kinds of animals, but it says the tongue is untamed, uncontrolled, the Bible says. And then it says it's unruly, unruly, out of control. And then it talks about in verse number 8 that it's full of deadly poison, full of deadly poison. How destructive it can be. Words that are of lying and cursing and prideful and anger and gossip. And these words that we speak can be very poisonous. Again, would you be okay with any kind of poison in your food? I wouldn't think so. If your spouse said that, I think I left a little poison in your food. I'm not sure, but why don't you try it and see how it goes? Would you taste it? I don't think so. But the Bible says our tongue, it's full of deadly poison. And so as we look at this tonight, we're going to look at verse number 9 through 12, and we're going to look at this passage here about hypocritical words, hypocritical speech. In verse number 9, it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. We're going to look at this speech, and as it talks about these few verses about being hypocritical with our speech. Let's pray as we begin the lesson tonight. Lord, I pray for your hand upon the message tonight. And Lord, I pray you be with my words as they're spoken, Lord, but may your words be given through me. May they speak to our hearts from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses, it talks about our speech, and it starts out good. In verse number 9, it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father. That's good, right? To bless the Lord, to praise God, to speak of God and his word. That's good, but then it takes a sharp turn. You turn going off the cliff, and it says, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or made after the image of God. We have our speech that sometimes it is good, and it's of things that are right and holy and praising and blessing, and then in the same mouth, in a moment, you can go from praising God to have cursing in your mouth. And the Bible says in verse number in verse number 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Out of the same mouth, not a different person, but there's times that you feel like, you ever have those times where you feel like, man, I'm, I'm walking with God, and God is controlling me, and God is using me, and I feel like, you know, God is just helping me today. And then all of a sudden, that person cuts you off. Then all of a sudden, that person messes up your order. My wife went to the DMV today, and that's always a fun place to go. You know, there's certain places you go, you get a lot of stories. The DMV, Walmart, anywhere else in public, and stuff happens, and all of a sudden, you know, you go from blessing to, oh Lord, help me now, and try to bite your tongue and hold back the cursing. And the Bible says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, right? Out of the same mouth, it shouldn't have blessing and cursing. That should not happen. It gives us a few examples out of the next couple of verses, and it says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The fountain, the source of a river, can it send forth sweet water and bitter, fresh water and salt water? And as you look at this, as you look at the source, right? You think, look at the source of where did that come from? A few years ago, we went up to Mount Shasta, went to the park there, had never been there, to the source, the headwaters of the Sacramento River. And we went up there, and you see the water just kind of just flowing, not very strong, out of the mountain at the time. And, you know, you see the water, and, you know, people are out there with their big 5-gallon jugs filling up the water up there, probably stealing business from you, Brother Rusty, is what they're doing. But you go to the source. You know, if the water is contaminated, if you're looking for where's this fresh or salt water coming from, you go back to the source of where it began. And sometimes you think, well, how did I just snap in a moment? Where did that come from? Well, what is the source? You go back to the beginning of where did this come from? So you go to the source of that fountain. Can from that fountain come sweet water and bitter? And the answer is no. You look at the next, it says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So can you come to a fig tree and you're going to find olive berries? You ever do that? You know, you go to an orange tree and you find apples there? Now, I'm not an expert gardener and all that, but that's never happened. I know you can graft, you know, a tree into another. And someone the other day gave us, what was it, Brother James? I think he stepped out. What was it? Miss Wien's not here. It was a plum and an apricot mix. What is that called? Pluot. Never heard that word before last week. I don't think. I'm pretty sure I didn't. But you look at that, and I heard they were good. I didn't try, but I heard they were good. But you look at that, and you go to a fig tree, and you say, oh, I'm going to find olive berries, olives here. It's not going to happen. Or to the vine, and you're going to find figs. And then it says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. In other words, saying this, you're going to either have a mouth and words of blessing or of cursing. And you're going to choose which one comes out of your mouth. And really it comes down to what is the source of where's our speech coming from. And then you go to that water and can you tell by the look of it? Well, I can't. Maybe you'd take a taste of it and see if that's salt water or fresh. And then I've got an evil fly up here as well. And then you go to that tree or to that plant to see the fruit that comes off it. And you see it and you taste it to see the fruit coming off of there. And when we look at our words, the Bible says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. These things ought not so to be. What the Bible is condemning is hypocritical living, hypocritical speech. And really, as you look through the book of James, that's much of the speech from the challenge from James. And as you see in chapter 1, it says, if any among you seem to be religious. Why did he say that? Because there's some that were just playing the part. There were some that were just looking the part of a Christian, but not a Christian at heart. And then in the next verse it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. Now, are we ever going to know pure religion, undefiled, as the way that we practice it? We have a perfect Bible, amen? Amen, right? We have a perfect God, amen? But are we ever going to be perfect in our religion? Are we ever going to be perfect in our Christianity? No, we're not. But as we look at this chapter, we're going to look at our speech today. This hypocritical speech is not right. It should not happen. Saying one thing and then doing another. What does this hypocritical speech do to us in our lives? First of all, our hypocritical words hurt your testimony. Hypocritical words, they hurt your testimony. Think about this. You're either building or destroying your testimony every day. You're either building or destroying your testimony every day. You know that you can spend your whole life building a good testimony and you can ruin it in a moment. You can have a good testimony at your workplace and have a good Christian testimony, but you can ruin that in one moment of what you say and what you do. And you can build that up through the Lord's help, but you can tear it down in a moment. In your workplace, at your home, out in society, in your church. And we all have those times of where we should be a good Christian and a perfect Christian at all times, led by the Holy Spirit at all times, but you have those times where the flesh takes over. And the flesh takes over, and you say and do things, you think, how did I get there? Because the flesh took over. Again, the main emphasis of the book is being a real Christian, not a performing Christian. Not performing. Anyone can play the part for a period of time, right? Anyone can play the part and put on the clothes and carry the Bible and say the right words to say, but we're not performing, we're not acting out the Christian life, right? It's not an act like someone that goes to play a part for a movie or a show and they put on this, the character, they put on the clothes, they learn about the person, and they're just playing a part. But as a Christian, we shouldn't be here just playing a part, right? We shouldn't just be here and we know the right words to say at this time, but then when you go home, then the real you or me comes out. See, the Christian life is not about playing a part. We shouldn't be performing Christians, but also we shouldn't be part-time Christians. You know that being a Christian isn't about a day of the week. Being a Christian is not about your location, about where you are. Aren't you thankful that you're saved 100% of the time? Amen? So don't you think that as a Christian that we should act what a Christian should 100% of the time, not being part-time? See, that can be the danger sometimes of coming to church and just playing the part of a Christian. But on the way to church, there was arguing and fighting and whatever it may be, and you get there like, okay, we got to put on the Christian face. Now, all that to say is, don't bring the junk into church either. We'd rather not have that as well. But which is not a part-time Christianity. Not a Christian on Sunday and then living like the world on Monday. Well, that's where that hypocritical speech and it hurts your testimony. So not a performing Christian, not a part-time Christian, and not just a professing Christian. You know that you and I could call ourselves whatever we want, right? And people today are doing that, calling themselves whatever they want. What do you identify as? And there's a whole list of things now. Like, there's really only two options. And God gave them to us. Right? Amen. But a performing Christian, you could say that you're a Christian, but are you at heart? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Professing. We can call ourselves whatever you want to, but eventually we show our real colors about who you are. Hypocritical Christianity, it does hurt your testimony. And people around you eventually are going to see the real you and the real me. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. See, to have a good name is something that you choose each and every day. You realize that being honest is a choice that you have to make every day? You know how easy our flesh tries to deceive us into just being dishonest for a little bit? You know, just sign your name there, just let it pass by, just pretend you didn't see it. Well, that's being a hypocritical Christian. We know better, right? To not bear false witness. So when that comes my way, well, I'm not a part-time Christian. I'm not just professing to be a Christian, that God wants us to be a real Christian all the time. A good name is rather to be chosen. Every day you're going to have to choose what kind of testimony you have. Every day. Are you going to choose to live as a Christian should live, or are you going to choose to live as your flesh or as the world would? Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. You know, a good name, it's better than riches and precious ointment. Sometimes you think, well, if I don't sign it, if I don't let it pass, if I don't let whatever it may be go by my desk or go by my way, then what am I going to lose out on? I'm going to lose out on some kind of a position, some kind of finances, some kind of a grade, and you don't realize that really what you're getting is in return for your good name. You're giving up your good name for some kind of possession, some kind of ointment, something in its place. See, we should be a Christian all the time. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you thankful that God is always the same? Amen. That God never changes. He's always the same. And I know that God is our perfect example, is what we should follow, and that we should be the same as God is the same. No matter where we go, no matter who we're with, no matter what the position is, no matter if it's vacation or not, we should be the same, following the Lord all the time. A bad testimony, it can be repaired. You say, man, I made a bad mistake. Yeah, join the club, right? I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. And you lost your name. You lost your testimony. And it hurt your testimony that you have built as maybe a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, as a Christian, as a son, a daughter of God. A bad testimony can be repaired. It just takes time and it takes work. You say, man, I messed up. And you go to those that you wronged and said, I messed up in this area. Would you forgive me? You say, what would they think if I apologize, that you're trying to get things right? Say, well, if I say something, then you'll know I did wrong. Well, get it right. Because your testimony is worth more than that position, worth more than that person to be right before God. See, it takes honesty and humility before God to get things right. So first of all, our hypocritical words, they hurt our testimony. But number two, hypocritical words, they hurt the name of Christ. They hurt the name of Christ. See, guess what? It's more than just about you and me. Say, well, you know, it's not about anyone else in my church or my family. It's just about me. No, your name as a Christian is the most important name that you have. And that name you carry with you all the time, everywhere that you go. And when you bless God at one time and you curse God at other times, you're not only hurting your testimony, you're hurting the testimony of Christ. Now, God is always perfect, but you are an earthly example as a Christian of the Lord. And so when I choose to not do right and I bless God on Sunday, but I curse God on Monday, when I bless God when I'm around Christians, but I curse others when I'm not around Christians, where you kind of have that chameleon Christianity where you kind of just fit in the crowd. Again, the Bible says these things ought not so to be, right? Guess what? The world knows better than that. The world knows that we should live better than that. Does the world live better than that? No. But they know that Christians are. And when you don't live the testimony of pointing others to Christ, people are watching. And you're hurting the name of Christ. Thinking about singing about the Lord on Sunday and then singing about the world on Monday, talking about God on one moment and then talking about sinful things another moment. A Christian that is blessing God at one time and then taking God's name in vain another time. I can't imagine as a Christian taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. The name of God's a precious name. How could we bless God and then curse the name of God? How could a Christian participate in dirty jokes and foul language? What a bad testimony we have of our Lord. Hey, none of us are going to be a perfect example, right? Amen? None of us are going to be a perfect example, but may we not use, well, I'm just a sinner and I can't help it and it just slips out at times. You're a testimony of Christ. You're a light that was sent. You're like John the Baptist, one that was sent to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. We're to point others to Christ. Am I ever going to be that perfect example? No. Am I ever going to be a perfect example of the Lord? No, but we have a perfect God. We have a perfect Word of God. And we should try to live our lives that would honor God. See, hypocritical words, they do hurt the name of Christ. See, God has called us to be holy in a sinful world. It's not always going to be easy, but God is trying to call us up. But many times we try to, like, we want to let ourselves slip down, just try to fit in. God has called us to be separate from the world. See, we're an example of God. We're an example of the Word of God, of our church. No one is going to live a perfect example, but we cannot use that as an excuse to live like the world, to act like the world, to be dishonest and hurtful and cursing and all the filth that goes on. We should live better than that, right? And again, the third point, we're going to get to the hypocritical words. It hurts others. There's no one that expects Christians to live more like Christians should than lost people. What do? They look at the church, and when there's a failure in the church, and for a Christian, who's the first ones to point it out? The lost, the backslidden, those who've got away from the Lord. And how do we hurt the name of Christ when we're not living as we should and we're living a hypocritical lifestyle? See, hypocritical words are really a contradiction. When we're blessing at one time and cursing at another time, that's a contradiction. Those things don't go together. See, the world has a high standard for Christians. But guess what? God has a higher standard for us, right? God has set a perfect example. He lived a life as we are. He's tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Are any of us going to be sinless? No. But God is trying to call us up. He's trying to call us up to a higher standard instead of just trying to fit into the world and bringing us down to a lower standard. The world is looking for reasons to reject the Lord. They're looking for reasons to you and me not to come to church, not to get saved. They're looking for those excuses in your life and mine about how we're not going to be real. But may we as Christians set the example again, not of perfection. We may not get there, not as an excuse, but may we live our lives right before God and others to not be a hindrance for the cause of Christ. Matthew chapter 7 talks about this in regards to our judgment, and it says this: judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So the judgment that you give to others, it's coming back to you, right? You expect perfection from others. Well, that's hypocritical, isn't it? Others in your house, man, they can never fail. Well, then you never fail, right? I never fail. Well, of course we do. Trying to have someone live to a higher standard, well, that's hypocritical, right? And it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? And behold, a beam is in thine own eye. It says this: thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. God is not condemning judgment. He's condemning hypocritical judgment, where when you've got a huge problem in your life, but you want to pick out the small thing in others' lives. Well, that's hypocritical. The hypocritical judgment in our lives. Again, judgment is not wrong, but hypocritical judgment is wrong. No, understand this. All of us judge. You ever go to a restaurant and you look at the menu? I don't know about you, and I don't know if this is juvenile, but I look for pictures on the menu, and I want to see what's my food going to look like, right? You do that? I want to see what it's going to look like. And then when you order, you sit there and you kind of imagine what the food's going to taste like. And if it's a good restaurant, they give you some kind of an appetizer, bread, salad, something. Why? Because I need to eat while I'm waiting to eat. And as you sit there and you look at people's food come by going to the next table, what do? I watch them like, oh, that one looks good. Like, I hope that's what I ordered, or can I switch it real quick? Probably too late. And then you look at the person's meal on the other side of the table and you go, ooh, that one looks good too. Take a little bite while they're praying or something, I'm not sure. But we all judge, don't we? We all judge. We're looking around and we're all judging others, but we should have a an honest and a right judgment, first of all, of ourselves before we judge others. Right? To judge ourselves through the Word of God and through God's eyes before we would judge others. Why? That's hypocritical. And the hypocritical judgment is, well, you better get what's right in your life before you're trying to point out what's wrong in your life before it's wrong in my life. Think about this. Your life might be the only example of a Christian that others might see. Your life might be the only example of a Christian that someone in your family would see. And you think, well, it doesn't matter what happens on the holidays. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter we're just on vacation. Well, yes, it does matter. Why? God is always watching, but others are watching as well. See, it's hard to live a hypocritical life and then be a witness for Christ the next moment. Right? It's hard to curse and mock or to curse God's name and then turn around and invite someone to your church. Right? Someone blows up and loses it at your table. Like, man, I can't leave a track now. You ruined it for us. But your life might be the only example of a Christian that others might see. If that's the case, then how do you portray the Lord to others in your life? What kind of an example are you giving in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood? You think, well, you know, I'm not on duty as a Christian. No, you're always on duty, right? We're a Christian 100% of the time, and God expects us to live as a Christian 100% of the time as well. So many times a lost person, someone that's backslidden, someone that's never been to church, they may look at you and say, if that's what a Christian is, then I don't want that. But then there's others that say there's something different about them, right? How many times have you faced that in your family, in your workplace? Someone looked at someone that said, there's something different about you. There's something different about your life. I remember that Joel was playing baseball one year and playing with one of his friends in the church, and they had a coach. They had a good coach, but a bad assistant coach, and they would yell and argue and fight with each other. It was really awkward. Like, guys, come on. And as the season progressed, and I kind of helped him a little bit, but as it got done, and we told him we went to church and invited him, and I don't think they ever came. They were supposed to come to one of our big days and didn't. But as the season got done, he said, you know what? As he mentioned us and other family, he said, there's something different about you. There's something different. And he said, my family needs what you have. And we invited him to church and tried to live right and invite and be a witness. But if your life is what others will see, what do they see about Christ? What kind of Christianity do they see? Are you showing them that we're no different than the world? And then if so, then what do they come to the Lord for? There's nothing to change. If you're living just like they are, then what change needs to be made? See, but God has called us out from this world to be different, to be separate, to be a peculiar people, a chosen people by God. You're a child of God. You're a son and a daughter of God, and we should live like that. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. These things ought not so to be. Again, you ever catch yourself saying something out of anger, frustration, and it just seems like it slips out, and you go, where'd that come from? And all of a sudden, you're embarrassed thinking, Lord, would you help me? And you try to get it right and ask for forgiveness and get it right with others and say, God, would you help me to be right in this area? Why? I don't want to hurt my testimony. I don't want to hurt the name of Christ, but also I don't want to hurt others in the process as well. The Bible says these things ought not so to be. You think, well, it's always just coming out. Blessing and cursing and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Well, think about that fountain, the spring waters of that river. Well, then you go back to the source and you think, well, where did it come from? Where that salt water, that fresh water, you know, where's it coming from? What's the issue coming from in my life? From my heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you think, well, where's that coming from? Well, let's go back and say, God, would you help me to keep my speech right? And may we realize that we're Christian 100% of the time. May we ask God to be Spirit-led, to be under control, and to not hurt the name of Christ with our speech. Lord, we thank you for the night. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you would challenge us from the Word of God as we continue these lessons about our speech, about our words. Would you help us, Lord, to be an example for Christ? May we not hurt your name, but may we point others to your name. May we have a good testimony before you and before others. I pray you bless the offering as we take it tonight. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ushers come, we'll take the offering this evening. In the Lord. What a great song. A couple announcements tonight before we are dismissed. And first is this: with the Cowboy Carnival coming up, we'll have flyers here on Saturday. I want to encourage you, this Saturday is a very important time as we have a big canvassing time Saturday morning at 9:30. I want to encourage everyone to come out. If you could simply take a flyer and walk it to a door and slip it, not in the door, but in the door as it's closed. And if you could just leave a flyer with someone. We don't encourage you to be here this Saturday at 9:30. Maybe you already come and you can encourage someone else to come with you. Why? Because we have breakfast. And so praise the Lord for that. So you don't even have to eat. Come here and we'll take care of that for you. And so canvassing for the Cowboy Carnival this Saturday. Please be praying for that. A lot of invitations being passed out for that. A couple of areas that you can help, and I believe there's a handout on the information station. If not, there's at least the announcement sheet. But if you can bring individually wrapped candy, no chocolate or gum, and put that in the bucket by the information station. Why? Because the kids need lots of candy. And then also, if you could, if you'd be willing to donate a $50 Walmart gift card and put that in the offering, or if you could designate on your offering envelope for the Cowboy Carnival for the gift card, that would be a blessing. We'll have another planning meeting if you want to get involved in that. But also is this, if you could help with some meals for the Walker family, I believe they still need one more meal. If you could see Brother Drew, and that would help out for this family as well. And then there was one more here. The memorial service for Brother Richard Roberts is Saturday, September the 14th at 2 o'clock. If you could see Miss Julie Lewis, if you could help provide part of the meal after the service, they're going to have a reception for the family. So if you could see her, if you can help and provide something small, she could let you know what you could bring, or you could give an option maybe for that, and that would be great. Also, Grace Notes and Jubilee Ensemble starts Sunday night at 5 o'clock for Grace Notes, 5:30 for Jubilee. I believe that's all our announcements tonight. Pastor in the Park activity coming up Friday night at 5:30. Almost forgot that one. All right, let's stand to our feet, and we'll have a word of prayer as we are dismissed tonight. Thank you for being here this evening. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this night, and I pray that you would challenge us from your word. Lord, just being honest, being real before you, Lord, and may we have words of blessing and praise in our mouth, because as a Christian, we have much to thank you for. We have much to praise you about, Lord, and may that be in our speech and our mouth this week. Send us home with your safety and blessings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.